Title of my sermon today is Addicted to Myself, Me, Myself, and I. I'm going to read you a song lyrics by Brian Martin. You probably never heard of him, but the title of the song is called Addiction. I'm a darkness, coming any size. You can't hide from me, they can see it in your eyes. Sinner or saint, I'll leave you telling lies, but I'll be with you till the day you die. Hidden in the shadows, down the street, just waiting for a chance for us to meet. Once I have you, I won't let you go. Jesus can have your heart, but I'll take your soul. Well, I didn't come to you, you came to me. So I'm not the one to blame, you see. Talk about all the things you've changed. When the morning comes, one thing remains the same. My name's Addiction. It's a powerful name. If you don't believe me, come and play my game. I've took the best and watched them go insane, or just kick back and watched them go up in flames. In this sermon, as always, I use personal struggles that I've been through myself. This one's no different. I'm always hesitant to tell you much about myself, but generally, God gets me through it. God kept telling me I needed to do it, to tell His word through my message. Basically, the Holy Spirit is telling me, stop conceding to selfish fears or emotions and get over myself. That's a strong pill to swallow when I'm told to use a talent that I don't willingly express or think I have. But with God, you possess many talents that He will push you to use for His will in His timing. That being said, I questioned myself as to what subject I was going to speak on. A few topics came to mind, but the Holy Spirit was telling me addiction and temptation is what I needed to speak about today. I fought this idea hard. I could not get it to come together on paper. But every time I tried a different topic, the Spirit told me to go back to what my heart started with. The Spirit kept giving me thoughts while driving around delivering boxes. If only I had written them all down. If y'all can hear my dirt road preaching to myself, you'd think I was Baptist. I finally gave up and went with it, for I have struggled with temptation and addiction. If you listen carefully to the lyrics that I just read, they stated that addiction can and will come in many forms. Not just the form mentioned in the song, but the lyrics captures any sort of addiction. What is addiction? In my definition, it's when people, including myself, are doing a whole lot of something that produces a whole lot of nothing and consumes a whole lot of time for one purpose, selfishness. Selfishness that removes one from the presence of God. Addiction is more than a chemical, it's more than a drink. In fact, the addiction by definition is attached by one's own inclination, self-addicted to a practice, devoted, given, inclined to. In other words, you and I choose to stray from God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ by our own decisions. Just as you chose Christ as your Savior, you choose to deny Him through decisions and actions which deny Him the glory He deserves. Through our baptism, we strive to be more like Him in every aspect of life. In addition, an addiction attaches us to other things that separate us from the covenants made. The list of these things are endless. It could be drugs, prescribed or illegal, alcohol, tobacco, money, video games, cell phones, social media, Facebook, Instagram, looking at late night websites when everyone else is asleep, work, TV, sports, even food, gambling, etc. The list goes on. None of these, nor any addiction, starts off as an addiction. We make choices that become repetitive, and then they consume us. They start as a temptation. Temptation and addiction are both simple and complex, yet equal in the form of a sin. Glory and praise be to God for sending his son to remove the sin from the world. But that comes with a caveat. You must accept and believe that very statement, that Jesus came to cleanse us from our sins through his death and resurrection. Therefore, transforming yourself to be more like him in every way also means doing what Jesus would do. This means giving yourself completely to the Lord. This does not mean part-time or only when it's convenient, or to give yourself the title of a Christian. A polished Christian, as I call it. You know, the ones that put on their armor every Sunday for an hour, and go home, eat Sunday lunch, prop their feet up on the coffee table, their feet by the Bible, then they start cussing the football player running down the field because they didn't make the right play. Their armor is unblemished. They show up at the birth and the death of Christ. But just like the poem, The Dash, the in-between matters also. See, God wants the armor beat up, beat all to heck. He wants it to ready to fall apart. For this means you've been battling the evils of the world, accepting the persecution that comes with the covenant. He wants you used, but not used up. And the belt of the truth is all the repair material for your armor you'll ever need. Each scripture will weld all holes acquired during your turmoils of life. God must be first in all things. If you grab your phone before you grab your Bible, if you turn on the TV before you do your devotions, if you spend hours on the internet and only minutes or not at all praying, you might want to rethink your priorities. Addiction can show its ugliness in many ways. I picked the seven that we all know, just to read over them: pride, greed, wrath, envy, lust, gluttony, and sloth. If we were to dissect the word addiction, these seven things are the cause of addiction. We know them as the seven deadly sins. And the seven deadly sins come from a pope named Pope Gregory I, who in 600 AD compiled a list of seven biblical sins and called them deadly. But according to scripture, the wages of sin is death. Simply put, yet harshly put, states that a sin is a sin no matter how you slice it. They all are deadly and plentiful. That's why we fall short in the eyes of God. It makes you wonder and think of the statement, there's a highway to hell, but just a stairway to heaven. Many more souls fall victim to the addiction of sin than those who repent of their sin that they are addicted to. More pavers are laid in the road from sin than there are treads in the stairway upwards to Christ. Where and how does addiction begin? It begins with a lack of discipline and self-control. Letting your guard down, so to speak. The devil only needs a crack or a fissure. If the faith of a mustard seed can move a mountain, a weak spot of the same size can put it back. Just one temptation can crumble the world. We can see this how the serpent twisted God's word to tempt Eve, thence Eve tempts Adam. This is what I wanted to speak about in today's scripture. We'll start off with verses 10 through 12. Put on your full armor of God to protect from the evil spirits of the heavenly realm. We know who he's talking about. He's talking about the devil. Have you ever thought how quickly the devil works? If you look at Genesis, God created land animals and man on day six. The devil showed up later in day six and used one of God's creation as a vessel of delivery. He twists God's word so that Eve questions God. The temptation to eat from the forbidden tree, which is no different than today. Satan just changed the appearance and flavors of the fruit to tempt us with over and over until we give in. Temptation can change who you are, change your identity. It can change who you are and change your identity. Does the word identity sound familiar? The devil can create and cause uncertain discernment or false interpretation of the scripture. Then Paul tells us we are to stand our ground and put on the belt of truth. Paul uses this description of armor to give a visual era. He is describing the Roman soldier's armor. There's a reason the belt is first, for the rest of the armor is attached to the belt. He used the word truth to explain the knowledge of God and the belief in the resurrection is primary in the battle of evil. The truth will give you what you need in any altercation, any fight, in any battle. Stand firm in your faith, for that is the foundation of victory. The belt is a crucial piece of armor. The breastplate of righteousness is attached to this. The breastplate protects the vital organs. Therefore, righteousness is protecting the essentials, protecting the believer and all your Christian values. Protecting from the heavy blows from the evils of sin. With our feet fitted in readiness that comes with the gospel of peace, Jesus is the peace and is with you every step. The shield of faith. Faith protects us from trials, just as a shield does in battle. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The helmet protects salvation, and the devil is extremely interested in salvation, meaning he doesn't want you to have it. He wants to get in your mind and thought process to divert you from Jesus. The sword of the Spirit means if you have knowledge of His Word, you can strike down the enemy with precision. But yet wield it wildly, you can cause false interpretations, doubt, and harm. You need to let the Spirit guide you and be knowledgeable of the Bible and the Word. What is the armor protecting? It's protecting the front of the body, meant to keep you protected when moving forward in the path of God. So this leaves the back vulnerable. This is where the devil will shoot the flaming arrows. Just think about it. When you were in school, that kid behind you hit you with a rubber band, hit you with a spitball, what'd you do? You turned around and looked. You lost focus. You were not moving forward anymore. That's what the devil wants. He wants you to lose focus. The sin of temptation works the same way. The flaming arrow is something attractive, something fun, something to make you feel good. The devil got your attention with a direct hit. Now he will start lobbing arrows just to get you to think about it repeatedly. These arrows are the arrows of money, car, cell phones, video games, alcohol, tobacco, etc. Many things that keep you from a forward motion towards God. He will keep hitting you until you are hooked, and the temptation is now an addiction. With each arrow that hits and is not removed, a piece of armor comes loose until it falls off. You've lost focus of God, maybe not totally, but a little time won with the devil on his part is victory for him. The devil doesn't shoot people outside these doors or non-believers. He shoots the arrows at us, the ones inside these doors. He wants the covenants disrupted. Once the covenants are disrupted, he doesn't have to shoot many arrows, for we will shoot the arrows at ourselves. The people we love have the best aim when it comes to a flaming arrow. Let's change the direction for a moment. You've been told you've had a problem or an addiction issue. When generally confronted, most people get defensive. They say, "I know I don't. You don't know what I'm going through." They'll say, "You don't know me." But then again, maybe they do realize they have an issue. The same logic comes from their mouth. "I can't seem to stop. I've tried. I can't. My life is not in a good place." In all these statements, there's one common denominator. They all are me, myself, and I statements. Exactly where the devil wants you to be, to feel all alone. To be blinded by the temptation and addiction of all the flaming arrows. He can take the best follower of Christ and turn him if he's alone. All it takes is one good shot. Once you are alone, the arrows are shot by me, myself, and I from within, under the armor, from the quivers of the flaming arrows of the seven deadly sins, which I feel pride is the worst and encumbers the other six. For pride is the opposite of love, for it is love of yourself, complete separation from Christ. Isaiah says this in 14:13-14. For you said to yourself, I will ascend to heaven and set on my throne above God's stars. I will preside on a mountain of the gods far away in the north. I will climb to the highest heavens and be like the Most High. The prophet is describing the Babylon king and how pride destroyed him. There are some scholars compare this to the fall of Satan. If you listen carefully, there was a lot of I will statements in that passage. A total separation. A me, myself, and I without God. All pride. In Ezekiel 28:15-17 says this, you were blameless in all you did from the day you were created until the day evil was found in you. Your rich commerce led you to violence and you sinned. So I banished you in disgrace from the mountain of God. I expelled you, O mighty guardian, from your place among the stones of fire. Your heart was filled with pride because of all your beauty. Your wisdom was corrupted by your love of splendor. So I threw you to the ground and exposed you to the curious gaze of the kings. This is where the devil was expelled from heaven, because of his pride. This is the intent of Satan, to convince mankind to love themselves and not God. Satan attacks from behind and works through many channels of deception. Satan knows the only way he has the chance to win is to use what God created and use it against him. Man is easily tempted and swayed, just like Satan. Mankind desires status and power over something through possession of what is seen and not trusted, which means you're walking alone backwards. You can't leave God out. It is supposed to be a we issue, just as it was in the beginning with Adam. Leave the me, myself, and out of the and I out of the equation. You are your own worst enemy. You are your biggest temptation. You are your biggest addiction. Pride is the devil. Therefore, self-love is separation from God. Have you ever seen Satan? What did your reflection look like in the mirror this morning? Satan reflects me, myself, and I, just like the lyrics of the song I quoted. Jesus may have your heart, but addiction has your soul. Jesus lives in us, but has roommates of me, myself, and I. You'll never completely evict the me, myself, and I out of the house of your mind, but the goal is to put them on the back porch and lock the door. Every addiction has a cure, but you must seek it out and invite it in and make it a we issue. Which leads me to my next point, seeking help. Don't grab someone that is not walking forward with Christ, for they will only turn you into the incoming arrows. Turn to someone with the armor of God, someone who will keep you focused, get you turned around, and moving forward. You want to get back to back. That way you're protected on both sides. Matthew 18:20 says this, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them. But if two doesn't work, we grab another and another and so on. Now we have enough that we can keep moving forward together. Any errors hit, just bounce off, for you have the help. We are now walking with elbows interlocked. Nothing can break through. just like playing Red Rover when you were kids. Nothing's coming through. Being a Christian isn't easy. You got to take some arrows. We all will. Do not use your armor selfishly by letting the arrows hit your neighbor and you sit back and do nothing. The belt of truth will heal with forgiveness and remove regrets. The scars will remain. The scars are wounds that have healed. Before I conclude this sermon, I must go back to the scripture in Ephesians and talk about probably the most important verse, at least to me anyways. It's verse 18. And pray in the Spirit in all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. This is when the me, myself, and I becomes a we or an us issue. We don't pray to inform God, for He knows our problems. We invite Him into our life. Pray in the Spirit. Invite Him into our prayer without selfishness of me, myself, and I. Submitting to Him, relinquishing our pride. Prayer is a valuable weapon in our armor. Use it. In conclusion, the question if addiction is a sin is simply answered by which sin is your addiction. Temptation starts with you allowing me, myself, and I to cause lack of focus. You are the landlords of your heart. With Jesus, the rent is always paid on time. The debt is paid. But the squatters of me, myself, and I put the squatters of me, myself, and I on the back porch. The last line of my sermon today is a short prayer I'd like for you to repeat after me. Lord, I am forever grateful that you saved me from myself.
Lord, I am forever grateful that you saved me from myself.
With you, Lord, we have our armor and can do anything. Amen.